The scalloped hem of Katerina Lazari's blue velvet coat grazed the fresh fallen snow, leaving a pale pink path on the bricks as she walked across the empty piazza. The only sound was the soft rhythmic sweep of her footsteps, like hands dusting flour across an old wooden cutting board. All around her, the Italian Alps loomed like silver daggers against a pewter sky. The rising winter sun, a pinprick of gold buried in the expanse of gray, barely flickered. In the first light of morning, dressed in blue, Katerina looked like a bird. She turned, exhaling a long breath into the cold winter air.
"Ciro," she called out. "Eduardo!"
She heard her son's laughter echo across the empty colonnade, but couldn't place them. She surveyed the columns of the open portico. This wasn't a morning for hide-and-seek, or for playing games. She called to them again. Her mind swam with all she had accomplished. Big chores and small errands, attending to a slew of overwhelming details, documents filed and keys returned, all the while stretching the few lire she had left to meet her obligations. The first stage of widowhood is paperwork. Katerina had never imagined she would be standing here, alone, on the first day of 1905, with nothing before her but the small hope of eventual reinvention. Every single promise made to her had been broken. Katerina looked up as a window on the second floor of the shoe shop opened, and an old woman shook a rag rug out into the cold air. Katerina caught her eye. The woman looked away, pulled the rug back inside, and slammed the window shut. Her younger son, Ciro, peered around one of the columns. His blue-green eyes were the exact color of his father's, as deep and clear as the water of Sestri Levante. At 10 years old, he was a replica of Carlo Lazzari, with big hands and feet and thick, sandy brown hair. He was the strongest boy in Vilminore. When the village children went down into the valley to collect sticks bundled to sell for kindling, Ciro always had the heaviest haul strapped to his back, because he could carry it. Katerina felt a pang whenever she looked at him. In Ciro's face was all she had lost and would never recover.
"Here!" She pointed to the ground beside her black leather boot. "Now!"
Ciro picked up his father's leather duffel and, running to his mother, called to his brother, who hid behind the statuary. Eduardo, at 11, resembled his mother's people, the Montini family, dark-eyed, tall, and willowy. He, too, picked up his satchel and ran to join them. At the foot of the mountain, in the city of Bergamo, where Katerina had been born 32 years ago, the Montini family had set up a printing press that churned out linen writing paper, engraved calling cards, and small books in a shop on Via Borgo Palazzo. They had a house and a garden. As she closed her eyes, she saw her parents sitting at an alfresco table under their grape arbor, eating ricotta and honey sandwiches on thick, fresh bread. Katerina remembered all they were and all they had. The boys dropped their suitcases in the snow.
"Sorry, Mama," Ciro said.
He looked up at his mother and knew for certain that she was the most beautiful woman in the world. Her skin had the scent of peaches and felt like satin. His mother's long hair fell into soft, romantic waves, and ever since he could remember, as he lay in her arms, he had twisted a lock until it became a single, shiny black rope.
"You look pretty,"
Ciro said earnestly. Whenever Katerina was sad, he tried to cheer her up with compliments. Katerina smiled. Every son thinks his mother is beautiful. Her cheeks turned pink in the cold, as the tip of her aquiline nose turned bright red. "Even when she isn't,"